Hello. You are listening to the Carol Connection. With your host, Jared Carol.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Carol Connection. I am your host, Jared Carol, back for another fantastic episode. I did want to take a chance to shout out my last episode with Jake Wickham and Dylan Wickham. Both are my cousins, and it was really fun to actually sit down and talk with them, and I think Dylan gave a really good insight into his perspective on high school, and Jake about into college and his career choice, and talking about their dad. It was a really fun episode to record, and if you haven't had a chance to check that out, please do. Links are in my bios and all that fun stuff. So today I'm with a very great gentleman by the name of Cam Hutchin. How you doing, Cam?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing great. Glad that we could actually do this episode, and it'll be really fun. So kind of just tell everyone who you are and what you've been doing currently.
My name's Cam Hutchin. I'm 24, from Attleboro. Right now I work for a union shop called Ryder. Basically, I'm just in charge of all the fuel department, stuff like that. Looking to be in law enforcement. I'm working on the Department of Corrections for State of Rhode Island right now. Other than that, it's basically all I've been up to.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing your careers right there. I do want to start off with talking about someone who's very important to you. And I know it could be an emotional conversation if you want to go there, and it's okay if you feel that way. Talk to me about your brother and your relationship with him.
Basically, my brother, that was my twin. When we were 19 years old, on a Friday night, we were going out to Bridgewater State University with a friend of a friend. And basically, on the ride there, we got into a car accident where he had passed away 5 days later. What happened with that whole situation was a big impact on my life and big impact on my decisions in my everyday life or my future goals and stuff like that. I don't know really where to get started with that.
There's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
And it's totally okay too. Like, it's not an easy thing to talk about for sure. Like, I couldn't even put myself into your shoes with losing a brother. Like, that's just like, I feel for you, like, in every sense of the word. Like, it's hard to even comprehend, and especially a twin. Like, I can't even relate to that. Like, I don't, like, that's you. That's like, yeah. That's a part of you. And I think just from my perspective of knowing you and getting to know you more closely, he'd be so fucking proud of the person you are becoming too. And I think it'd be great to share too what you've done since then, especially we've talked off air about how you've decided to get into the military and how he was a big impact in that decision. So kind of just share why you got into the military and why, with him motivating you, is that why you did what you did?
So basically, even since I was like a little kid, I always wanted to be a police officer, or my main goal was I wanted to be a cop in the Army. So especially after my brother had passed and I was in the recovery of my ankle being broken, I got surgery on that. I had a lot of time to kind of sit back and think about what I wanted to do, and it kind of motivated me to start, you know, doing the things I want to do for my future and stuff like that, seeing that, you know, your life could change in just a second. I used that time to kind of reflect on what I wanted in my life and what I wanted to do going further. And so one day I randomly just woke up, I decided it was time. I went over to the recruiting station in Taunton, signed up. I had a good guy, you know, kind of mentoring me through the whole process. Basically, you know, it started off actually pretty bad. I was kind of a little sick at the time when I was doing it, so I failed actually my first test, which sounds ridiculous because the test isn't that hard, but failed the first time. You know, it took some time, whatever, came back, passed it, signed my contract, and then I had 5 months to kind of prepare myself, get ready for being away for 5 months and, you know, kind of being taken away from everything I know and being put into a new world and situation like that. And usually people say it's a, you know, it's a hard time to be away from all your family and everything, you know, and being put in a situation where you're kind of not held prisoner, but in a way you kind of are. You know, you're getting yelled at all the time. You're on a strict schedule. You know, if you make one false move, you're going to pay for it, stuff like that. Which, you know, it plays some tricks on your mind. And but, you know, with my brother being kind of like my motivation for everything, kind of keeps me pushing forward for everything. It ended up making me stand out from the crowd when I was there. There's about 205 of us, I think, in my class. And I think by the end of it, there was like probably about half that, like 100 or so. And I had graduated like as like the top male in our class. I had the fastest run time, PT scores, my grades and like the school part of it was, I think I was like top five for that part. And I get, yeah, like my biggest thing was just, you know, when I'd get down or if I was questioning things, I wanted to give up. I always had him in my back, like the back of my mind to keep me going and, just kind of keep me pushing through to be the best there or try to be the best there. And that was a big thing for me.
That's a huge thing to have as a motivating factor, is you have someone there that's always with you. He's always there, he's pushing you. And how much time was there in between his passing and when you went into the military? What was that like span of a few years, or I'm assuming?
It was about a year and a half, 2 years tops. So yeah, I definitely had time to, you know, I definitely had to get my ankle right before I could do anything, but definitely gave me plenty of time to really think about what I was doing and really kind of put a lot of thought and effort into the whole situation.
Let me ask you this, and it's okay if you don't know the answer to it, but how is your grieving process dealing with something like that? And I know even to this day, most, like, I couldn't feel like I would ever get over something like that. So obviously it definitely weighs on your mind, probably think about him every single day that you're alive. It just, I feel that way about people who have passed in my life, so I can only believe it's like tenfold for someone like yourself.
So my grieving process is actually something I don't think that really anyone will ever truly understand. It's a lot different than how other people deal with things. And trust me, I didn't choose it to be this way. This is just how it went. Throughout the whole process, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, they get scared to ask me these questions, stuff like that, which I just want people to know I never mind talking about my situation, especially if it makes other people feel better. It makes me feel better to kind of be there for someone in a similar situation, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But basically, the day that he had his funeral, which was, you know, that was over 4 years ago now, that was the last time I've ever been emotional or upset about the whole situation. I've, you know, a lot of me and my friends, we go and we visit his, you know, his grave a lot during the summer, especially. And I've gone there, you know, late nights, you know, middle of the night, just me, to try to kind of get myself to open up, you know, like, you know, cry a little bit, you know, get a little emotional, let some, like, release some of that pressure from inside me. But there's something there. And, you know, I like to think that it's him, like, throughout me spiritually, at least, that's kind of keeping me, holding me strong, like, won't let me get emotional. I've literally sat there for hours trying to force myself to cry, force myself to, you know, I'll even talk out loud just being there just to get it off my chest. It's just, you know, no one really understand that, like, sometimes you don't have to be upset to release your emotions or release, like, how you're feeling inside about a bad situation. I just, like, I don't know, it's hard for me because a lot of people try to tell me, you know, you need to talk to someone, like, it's not good that you have it all built up or you don't really talk about it a lot, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And, you know, of course, I'm going to tell them, no, like, I know I'm okay, and no one's really going to believe that because, you know, people say that, they put on a front. But for me, truly, I just, you know, going about my life every day and just living and trying to help other people with their situations if they, you know, if they need it or they want to talk about it, or even just hearing my situation and just hearing how I deal with it, if that's something that could help other people or get them to realize, you know, maybe they don't have to be a certain way about a bad situation, that's been a big thing for me. My biggest, like, quote that I kind of say to myself is, like, I like to make, you know, a positive out of a negative. So him passing away was a huge negative in my life. I mean, I was side by side with the kid for 19 years. I didn't know how to, you know, I never had to worry about, you know, oh, no one's around, I have no one to hang out with. You know, so having that change in one day, you know, having a lot of that, you know, no one's around and it's just me now instead of just me and my brother riding around, hanging out. That was a tough situation. But we do have a now 16-year-old brother who, you know, my energy definitely reflects on him too. And I feel the way that he is responded to the whole situation, especially being so young when it happened. I feel like it kind of is based off me and based off, you know, like how I deal with things in front of him. And it's just been a different situation. I've never really had that before, but I don't like to call it a bad situation, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I'm kind of a firm believer in things. Everything happens for a reason, whether we want it to or not,
for sure.
Whether positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked with this with my cousin, who her mom was paralyzed by a drunk driver, and that was my third episode, and we talked about that. And we talked about the fact of people were afraid to talk to her about that situation because they were afraid to either offend her or bring it up to make her upset. And for me, when I look at that, I'm like, you love that person so much, you probably almost feel like you want to people to like ask and talk about and bring up memories and bring up the good times. And talking about something doesn't always have to be making someone else feel upset and bring up the bad memories and of what had happened. And I'm comfortable asking these, and I'm really appreciative that you are receptive to it and willing to answer these questions, because I don't know, maybe a few years ago, I don't even know if I'd have the courage to ask you something like this. Like, it's just something when you look at it, it's like, I don't want to make him feel upset. I don't want to bring up memories that maybe he's tucked away and he's moved on or whatever it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So talking about someone has passed, for me, has always been a positive thing.
Yeah.
And it, the way you deal with it could be huge for someone who's going through something very similar, like whether it is a sibling or a mother or a father or however, whoever it is in their life, and they could be grieving someone. Hearing the way you have dealt with your process could help someone else, and you never know who it could be and or who's listening to something like this. So kind of talk a little bit too about, because I know you guys are really big into sports.
Yeah.
Like, what were some of, like, your favorite memories? Like, I know you played football a lot. What were some of your favorite memories that you and your brother shared during those early stages of life?
You know, growing up playing Pop Warner, me and Chris, we actually, we met our best friend Tom back in first grade. And, you know, he wasn't really playing sports. You know, his family wasn't, it's not that they weren't into it, but they weren't pushing it on him as where my parents, they wanted us to play sports. They wanted us to experience it. We played all our years together, and there was this one team back in the day. Every time we played, there was something going on with Chris, where whether he got suspended because he threw his helmet or he was hurt so he couldn't play. But they were basically it was the Cumberland Express. They were like the worst team, and you know, we went to go play them one time, and my brother played wide receiver, where me and Tom played running back. So we had more opportunity for, you know, scoring, especially at a younger age where we're not throwing the ball down the field all game. I think me and Tom went off and scored like two, three touchdowns apiece that game. And my brother was just so pissed because he, at the beginning of that game, he had thrown his helmet and got ejected from the game. We're like 13 years old, getting kicked out of a Pop Warner game. Stuff like that, just like little, attitude moments that, he had that were just funny, especially at a young age. It was just really funny watching his reactions and the way that he kind of growing up as we played. You know, he started to kind of care a little more and stop being so dramatic about things. And it was just, you know, good times like that, especially that game where me and Tom just, we scored so many touchdowns and he just watched the whole thing so mad. It was a good time for sure.
Yeah, shout out Tom. Where is he now?
He's actually over in, he's in Germany right now. He's got another, what's it, March. He's going to be in Colorado in May, so he's coming back stateside. He just re-upped for I think another year for now, so he's in the Army for another at least over a year. But yeah, he's over there doing good things. He actually today right now is doing a Soldier of the Month competition, which is, that's huge. You know, he had his situations out there having too much fun and set him back a little bit, but he's actually going back up to the board for sergeant right now. So he's doing good, which is awesome. It's great to see.
Yeah, it's always good to see someone doing good. And something with that, where I think something like that, where he's literally not in the country. Like,
yeah.
Being in another country is like, especially living out there. Like I had the opportunity to visit my brother who's in the Navy, and he's stationed in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the opportunity to go out there and visit him and just it was my first time out of the country other than Mexico, and I don't really consider Mexico leaving the country. You go to a resort and everyone's speaking like English. It's not really in a resort. Like, yeah, you're not seeing anything. It's special. But went out to Spain, and just to see a different culture and a different group of people and how they interact throughout their day, just the way their city is set up and all that, was just so eye-opening. Yeah. And I can only imagine for my brother. My brother's been to Japan, and he's been to Bahrain, and he's been in these different places. And that's something where I like to thank the military for allowing people like him and Tom to have that opportunity to go to these different places and kind of find yourself. Like, I think everyone goes through those dark periods where they struggle, whether it's nicotine, alcohol, whatever it is, there's some type of addiction or struggle with maybe opioids or whatever it could be. Someone always usually has, not someone, usually people have some type of struggle in their life that they have to overcome. And mm-hmm. I know, just talking to my brother, he's had to deal with his own demons, and we've talked about it like by ourselves. And something for me, kind of looking back on, is I stopped drinking as much alcohol as I used to. Like, I really don't drink alcohol at all. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time I really drank. It was probably like July. Jesus. Like, it was more a health decision. Like, I was overweight, and the choices that I was making weren't positive on my life. And I was going down that rabbit hole of just negativity, like self-doubt, like, you're a piece of shit. You're not worth anything. Like, it's like, I just felt so bad about myself, and it was a pity party. Mm-hmm. And it took a lot of pulling myself out of a deep, dark place and looking myself in the mirror and saying, who do you want to be? Mm-hmm. What life do you want? What's important to you and what's not? And then I quickly realized, I'm like, this alcohol shit is not getting me to where I need to get to. And I'm not saying people don't drink. Yeah. Having a drink and going out to friends is fine, completely fine. And even when you don't do it in moderation, I get it. I totally get it. I've been there.
Yeah.
It's understanding that doing that all the time is not going to get you to where you need to get to in life. And maybe experiencing things that you experienced in your life, kind of touch upon the fact of, I know, because I know you, like, obviously in the military, so other things in your life isn't an option. So maybe nicotine and alcohol are something that you use more often than maybe someone else who isn't in the military.
Because
I know that is an issue too that me and my brother touched on, is abuse in the military, with especially alcohol, at least the Navy. Oh, yeah. For that part.
Yeah, for sure. The alcohol situation is any branch of the military, it's a big thing over there. But my thing was, you know, when I was younger, like all my, you know, in high school and stuff like that, you know, I did what everyone else does. I tried the weed. I tried the drinking. Just didn't have a good go around with it the first time around. So, you know, I spent my years in high school, just, you know, I was the one that was doing all the driving. You know, my friends, my brothers, they all go out drinking, smoking, whatever. I didn't do any of that throughout high school. You know, like I said, freshman year, I tried it, just wasn't into it. Just kind of, you know, I had a serious girlfriend at the time. I was more focused with that and playing sports and stuff like that. But as the years went on, you know, things changed. And, you know, after going through a situation with my brother, I definitely think it's important, whether it's with alcohol or with, you know, if you smoke or just not doing anything and just, you know, going hiking or something like that. It's definitely good to have that one thing that kind of gets you out of, you know, gets you out and gets you going, move around, you know, meeting people, whatever. I like to go out on the weekends for sure. That's my thing. I've had a lot of criticism with that, actually. A lot of people saying, like, you party too much, you go out too much, stuff like that. But the way I like to think about it is, you know, Monday through Friday, I go to the gym, I go to work, that's it. And, like, you know, I pay my bills, I do everything I need to do. But, you know, the weekends, that's my time. That's what I want to do with my weekend. You know, I'm not saying every weekend I'm out drinking my face off, but, you know, I like to go out without my friends, you know, have a good time. You know, we meet other people, you come across a lot of different things. It's good experiences that come with, you know, just getting drunk. And but yeah, I've gotten a lot of criticism with that, just thinking that I drink too much, stuff like that. But I also was a lot farther behind than everyone else. Like, they started mm-hmm. drinking when they were 16 and drank all their face off all throughout high school, all throughout yeah. college. I didn't start drinking until I was 19, basically 20. I you know, I started getting that, you know, going out and opening up a little bit and drinking and meeting people. Yeah. And I don't think it's a bad thing. Like I said, mm-hmm. you know, Fridays and Saturdays, if I want to go out and drink, I'm going to go out and drink on Friday and Saturday. I'm 24 years old. I can make that decision. And, you know, if that were to be affecting me in a bad way, then, you know, I'd make a change. I'd see that and I would make that change instantly.
I like the way you said that too. Like, that's kind of, I've never really thought about it like that either. Just like you're not even, I wouldn't say that you're taking over the top with the drinking. I would not say that. I would say you definitely maybe go out more than I would go out. But the fact would be you take care of your body during the week. You work during the week. You bust your ass and you pay your bills. So if that's what you want to do with your time, because mm-hmm. the way I look at it, everyone's got their thing. Whether it is people want to smoke cannabis or they want to use like jewels or cigarettes or drink alcohol. Everyone's got their thing. I get it. And it's totally fine too. But you have that fitness part too. That's the part that I stress, mm-hmm. whether it's on the podcast or just when I talk to people in general.
Yeah.
Working out, doing something active, because that's the thing that's going to take you out of the dark place.
Yep.
Say if you're just someone who just drinks, parties, does all that, doesn't work out, you're going to see some negative impact. Maybe not now. Maybe you got a fast metabolism. That mm-hmm. shit ain't going to last forever, man.
Not anymore.
That shit ain't going to last forever. We're getting up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it's just understanding that and understanding the fact that you need to do something. Like, plenty of podcasts I've listened to always talk about it. I know I always talk about Joe Rogan. People want to say I'm a dick rider. I don't give a fuck. I love Joe Rogan. But he stresses the fact of, if you're feeling depressed or have some anxiety, go fucking work out. Go do something. Mm-hmm. Like, go for a hike. Take your dog for a walk. Like, go take your cat for a walk. Go do something. Like, goddamn. Like, it's just people, especially maybe it's just more an older generation thing that's being passed down, because fitness wasn't as big as a thing as it is today as it was for them. Like, it wasn't really a thing back then. People didn't really work out. Like, you got the Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the world, and like, people are like, I don't know if I want to work out and do that shit. But like, transitioning too, like, obviously you have to keep yourself in pretty good shape to be in the military. So talk to me about your fitness and like why you think that's important to you.
I mean, you know, for me, I've always been a skinnier, you know, the skinnier kid in the group. Which has kind of been a little bit, you know, it's a little bit of struggle in the back of your mind. You're like, I don't want to be the scrawny kid anymore or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not the tallest, I understand.
But fitness is a pretty big deal for me. I mean, you know, I don't take it as serious as a lot of other people with, like, you know, the strict meal prepping and the mm-hmm. and the going, you know, every day of the week. I just feel as if, you know, I feel good with myself and I'm happy with where I'm at with my body if I'm there Monday through Friday. And, you know, if I can sneak a Saturday in there, then all the power to me. But I mean, it just, it depends. But yeah, it's important. I actually worked with the fitness industry for altogether 4 years, you know, building gyms around the country and, you know, kind of seeing like different ways that you can use the machines other than just, you know, what everyone thinks you can use it for. Like, so it definitely expanded my knowledge and, I just think it's super important to get out there. Like you said, we're getting older and those metabolisms are going away. I can assure that. I've always had that and it's starting to slow down now. But yeah, it's been an important thing to me. It makes me feel good whether I'm where I want to be or not. The fact that at the end of the day, you know, I can think, okay, you know what? I woke up, I went to the gym, I did something. Like, it's a big thing for your mind too. Like, you know, you could have done nothing all day. You could have slept from, like, for me, I work nights. You know, I get home at 8 a.m. I could sleep 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., did nothing all day, wasted the day away. But if I go to the gym, when I go to work that night, I know that I did something for the day. And I think that's huge for your mind. And, like, I think it's very positive for you. Gives you that release that, you know, some people don't really understand yet.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think a lot of people would be happier in their lives if they just did some type of physical activity, because like that mental stress, like that may be the hardest thing you have to do all day. Mm-hmm. Like, you need that struggle, and that's something I've kind of accepted and become more aware of, that you don't want to just take the easy road. You don't want to just do all the easy shit all the fucking time, because that's going to get you nowhere. Staying in your comfort zone, the worst fucking place to be. And if you want to be there, all power to you. Like, I feel for you. Like, I understand. It's a comfortable place and you don't really want to move and you're happy. Okay.
Yep.
But for a good majority of people out there, and probably some people listening, like, you got to take yourself out of that comfort zone. Whether it is, like, for me, I moved away and lived in Texas and Georgia. For you, you were able to leave and go to basic training and get that experience. And I guess now we can kind of transition into more of that military topic that we wanted to touch upon. So talk to me a little bit about basic training. Like, what was that kind of like? Everyone has this idea of how it is, but kind of tell me how it really is.
Well, I'll be straightforward with you, because my biggest problem with people's basic training stories and the way they explain it is everyone has their own experience. I get that. I feel like everyone kind of like lies about like the things they do or what has happened. Basic training, I'll tell you right now, it's nothing like you would think. It's a lot of me and my friends like to say it's a joke. It's kind of like a disgrace sometimes to see some of the people that get through that, you know, it's just like they made it by the skin of their teeth, where like other people are working their asses off to exceed like the standard stuff like that. But basic training, so basically on March 7th, what was that, 2016, I think it was, I shipped out to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. You start off in this place called the 43rd for the first, it's like 5 to 7 days. It's called the in-processing station. You get all your paperwork done. You get all your uniforms. You get fitted for everything. You get all the stuff you're going to need for the next however long you're there. For me, I was there for 5 months. And basically, you get on a bus. You don't know any of the people you're with. You start finding the friends to make you feel, you know, feel comfortable with the whole situation, because you need someone to kind of, you know, look back at when you're like, oh shit, we're screwed or whatever. But I get off the bus, and right there, you know, you get screamed at, you're running as fast as you can, you can't breathe, you don't even know where you're going. Everything you do is wrong. There's no doing right in the first 4 weeks of basic training. You could go to the bathroom like you always do. You're still not doing it right, because it's just basic training. That's how it works. And you're put to bed every day at a certain time, and you eat at a certain time, and you don't have any control over what you do. Everything you do, you have to ask for permission. Like, you have to ask to go to the bathroom. You have to ask to eat. You have to ask to get a drink of water. Everything's done a certain way for a bigger purpose. From the way you hold your food tray and the way you shuffle in line, like it sounds stupid at the time. You're like, why am I doing this? Why can't I just walk or whatever? But all those things have a bigger purpose, and you kind of learn that down the road. Basic training was definitely one of the best times of my life. I like to say I'm like brothers with four dudes that I never even met in my life. To be honest with you, I don't even know where they live right now. Because they're out doing their army stuff, but it's definitely an experience that I wish more people could just. Not even like, I wish more people could get it, whether like, you know, you're trying to be in the army or just you're doing something like that for the experience. I think it makes you grow as a person. Like you said earlier about going out of your comfort zone, you're somewhere where you don't know where you are. You don't know who you're with. You don't know anyone. It's just you versus everyone. And I think it builds you a lot as a person. It makes you more comfortable with who you are, and kind of pushes you to see some places you didn't know you had. Definitely get you to dig deep and stuff like that. But, I don't know. I guess my biggest thing was, I wish it was harder, just to challenge us.
When you say harder, was it like the fact, like the physical stuff, not as challenging as you thought it would be?
It's not even as much as that. There's definitely, some challenging parts to it. I didn't really have a problem with that. It was more of, the way that like society is these days, and the way that people are so soft to certain things. Like, the mm-hmm. army's rules are like a drill sergeant, like back in the day, could punch you in the face and could, you know, call you a pussy, something like that. Where to now, they can't call you names. They can't yell at you. They can't even like put their hand on your shoulder, because, you know, they might think that they'll get a, you know, an assault charge, or, you know, there's this big thing, called SHARP, which is, it's basically about, it's for like, you know, rape situations, stuff like that. Like, where, like, you know, if you're with a girl and, you know, you put your arm on her shoulder, she could literally just go and say, hey, you know, this made me feel uncomfortable. And then you could get kicked out of the army for something that stupid. I just think that the army is very soft these days. And it is definitely changing now. Like, they changed the new PT test, which is a lot harder. I think it'll weave a lot of the weaker links out. Not that I'm saying I'm one of the like stronger people. I just know what I'm capable of. And
You want the people who are joining the military to be mentally tough and willing to do those hard challenges. So
I don't want to look next to me and be like, shit, I don't know. This might not be good, you know.
I totally agree with that. And from my perspective, too, I could just see from the outside how it makes sense that they would conform like that to the way, unfortunately, the way society has gone down this path of you got to be careful what you say 24/7 or cancel culture is going to come get you and you're not going to have a job or you're going to be out of this shit and they're going to hold it against you forever. Yep. And that's such a fucking ass backwards way of dealing about life. It's like everyone does something in their life that they're not proud of or have said something that they wish they hadn't said. And if those social justice warriors on Twitter want to fucking hold that against me, then they could fucking do that. Like, I don't really care. Like, it's like, you got to talk to people that actually understand where they come from instead of just screaming and yelling at them, thinking that what you believe is right or wrong.
Yep.
Like, I would have never known your perspective on what you've gone through in the military if I didn't fucking ask. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like, it's almost like it's common knowledge. It should be common knowledge, but it's not. It's like people are forgetting, like, that face-to-face conversation. Like, we're sitting across the table having a conversation. Like, I'm looking at you, and, like, this is what it is. Like, that's why it's, like, I love doing this podcast because, like, for me, I'm physically here. Like, I'm getting this. Like, I'm hearing you, watching you say these words and how, like, you felt from your brother to the military and where we go further with this conversation. People are going to listen and get something from our conversation because maybe they are afraid to ask you these questions and I'm not. Like, I'm comfortable doing this stuff and because I want to know. Like, I genuinely want to know how you feel about things and how those things have shaped you into the person you are today, because that's only going to help me too. And for you, I know for myself, talking about what I've gone through and just with people who I'm comfortable with helps me, and it helps me grow, and you get more confident in communicating with people. Like, I'm definitely way better at communicating with people than I was before I started this podcast. Like, I'm so, like, grateful for the opportunity that I've had to communicate with people and share their stories. Like, I always want to say, like, thank you for allowing me to come and sit down and talk to you. Like, this is, like, awesome for me. And talk to me a little bit more. I guess I want to transition a little bit back towards your brother, but it's going to be kind of about your youngest brother.
Okay.
Being a role model for him, how has that shaped the way you view the world and how you've gone about your business?
It definitely makes me think a little more about what I'm doing, and you know, for him, it's just you know, it's we're at those ages where kind of like, you know, I'm not living at the same place as him. He you know, he's in high school. He just got his license. Which makes me feel wicked old, but, you know, we're just in different parts of our life where, you know, we're not always right next to each other. We're not always able to have that conversation where back in the day we lived together, stuff like that. So I think that, like, with what I do with my life and my decisions, just like, you know, whether he hears through the family, like, hey, Cam got a job doing this, Cam's doing this. Like, I just think, like, my actions, like, can kind of send more of a message than just having a simple conversation with him. You know, every time I see him, I try to see where he's at in life, what he's doing, what he's messing around with, just give him my input on things. And, but yeah, it's just, it's honestly, to me, I love having that role in someone's life that I can kind of, you know, help them choose what they're gonna do, and not just based off what I do, but just, you know, the way I make my decisions, the way I go about things. I know, or I like to think that it definitely has taught him with how he should deal with things, and he's grown over the years where we can have a conversation, and, you know, I know he's not too young for it and stuff like that. And but just having someone that you can kind of, you know, you feel like, you know, they're looking up to you, and every move you make is kind of, you know, it's kind of vital to, like, what they're going to feel or what they're going to think is okay and stuff like that. I think that's huge for a person. It's almost like a big responsibility, and I think it kind of molds you to be a better person. And I love being that person for someone, especially my brother.
Yeah, and I could attest to that. I'm an older brother for two of my brothers, and I'm a younger brother to, like, my oldest brother, and I always look up to him. I always tell him that he's a role model to me. And he motivates me, and he, like, we butt heads for sure, and I think all brothers can agree, and even sisters, you butt heads all the time with siblings, and maybe you don't always realize it too, and it seems like you kind of do, but the impact that you have, even without speaking to them, is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, I always watch my older brother, and, like, he used to bump Lil Wayne a million. I still do it to this day. Yeah. Like, I was like, I can't wait to do it like him and just, like, lean back in my car and just bump that music. Yep. And, like that thing's, like, the way he dressed, and, like, I always wanted to emulate. And I even wanted to get into the military at one point, and things didn't go the way I wanted to. And, like we said earlier, everything happens for a reason, and I'm grateful for what had happened in my life at that point. And people want to know, you could fucking hit me up and find out, but I'm not going to air my dirty laundry out there for y'all. Sorry. But my experience with just, like, the military and brothers is, it's tough. And especially with my brother, he's been away. He's almost 10 years in now, like, if not already. I think it's been about 10 years.
Wow.
But it's tough. It puts strain on the family, and you don't know what they're going through at all the time. And it's definitely, for people who have family members in the service, like, you know what I'm talking about, where you go through those difficult times and dealing with that and figuring out ways. And it's definitely easier now with things like FaceTime and shit like that. It's definitely easier to have those conversations and be connected. And that's something I always talk about on my podcast, is being connected, having those face-to-face conversations. But in chances that you can't do that, that's when social media and technology is huge. And that's where it's a tool, not supposed to be the only avenue of communication.
Yeah.
Now, if people today just all over the internet, like, that's all they do is Instagram, their Twitter, their Facebook.
DMing, all that stupid stuff.
Yeah, it's like, if you really want to know how someone's doing, hit them up and ask them to go grab a coffee or get lunch or ask if you want to, if they could talk to you on the phone for a few minutes. If you can't meet face to face, just reaching out and talking to people. Because people are always like, it's the last thing, like, something happened in Seekonk where someone passed away recently, and I just want to say, once again, rest in peace, Ashley. But things like, when bad things happen, people always want to, like, go back and be like, I wish I said this, or I wish I had done that. You can't do that.
No.
You should do that when they're fucking here. Like, and that's something, looking back, where both of us have gone through, where we've lost people in our lives, and obviously everyone has the thing where they wish they had said something more, said less, or whatever it could be. But understanding that this is the present moment, this is all we get. You know, we can't go back, we can't redo things. Like, maybe in some weird ass Rick and Morty world we do, but, like, in this one that I fully understand right now, we cannot do that. No. So being okay with what has gone on in the past, but understanding you need to reach out to people and tell them how much you care, how much they mean to you. Like, saying I love you to people, saying you really mean a lot to me, saying what you did for me the last week meant the world to me. Like, the small things do matter. And I think, especially, I'll just speak from being a guy, like, getting compliments is not always something that we get a lot. Like, if you, like, switch roles and think about females, I would be, maybe I'm coming out of it a different way, but I think they get a lot more compliments than males. And coming from a guy, I would appreciate someone saying, hey, you got a fresh cut today. Or, hey, you look good today. Like, just small little things. Like, I think people would all agree that, especially guys, when we're talking about this, we appreciate those little things and those little compliments. And I know for sure. Guys, we're always taught, be the tough man. Don't say, you don't got to say I love you. Like, it's just known. Like, that shit is old school, man. Like, I'm an emotional fucking dude. I'll be straight up honest about that. Like, I'll tell you how I feel. Like, if you're frustrating me, I'll tell you you're frustrating me. Like, communication, it's fucking key.
It's huge.
And people struggle with that. And it's just social media, man. People are just misusing that, and it's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that, it's just the lack of communication between our family, like our parents' generation and ours.
Yeah.
They didn't grow up with this. Like, they have no idea how to use this for most. Like, you probably gone through this where your parents are like, hey, how do you do this on that? Like, it's like, we have a, I think, not saying that we'll be better parents, but we'll have, a better grasp on technology.
For sure.
When we get there. And that's something I try to stay on top of trends. I try to stay, like, I'm big on TikTok. I love TikTok.
Oh, I love TikTok.
TikTok's fucking hilarious. And, like, I hear people all the time, TikTok's for kids. TikTok's stupid. TikTok's it's this, that, that. It's like, bro, you're just going to be outdated and out on the wave, man. Yep. Like, it's just a new form. And for people, like, I think it's just comedy, man. It's just fucking hilarious. Yeah, people dancing, having a good time. And I've seen ads, and there's definitely different ways to use it. And people are being so creative on the app that I haven't seen on other apps besides maybe Vine. Like, I like that creativity that people are bringing back into this world. And
I think touching on that, actually, one of the best things I think with things like, you know, back in the day, Vine and now TikTok and stuff like that, even, you know, social media with Instagram, stuff like that. It just goes to show you how many opportunities there are in this world. Like with these people, they're literally getting paid to dance and have fun and make these videos and stuff like that. Like, you know, people like your favorite, Joe Rogan, he makes money doing stuff like this, like things that you love to do. And it's not hard things that, you know, it's if you just got to get out of your comfort zone, you got to do those. I just think that, you know, people that say this is dumb, that, you know, they'll be like, oh, she's an Instagram model, that's stupid. But you know what? She went and, you know, she made something out of just posting on her Instagram. You know, she makes money from it now, or, you know, vice versa with other people. But I just think it's a good thing. It shows how much opportunity there is in the world, and you got to do it.
Yeah, you got to be willing to do it. Yep. Stepping out, like we said, stepping out of the comfort zone, being okay with people judging you, because that's something that I haven't received too much hate. I've seen some criticism, which totally fine for, but it's, I like the way Gary Vee talked about it, where it's just like, can't look at the good or the bad, just accept things for what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You only got to care about your opinion. If you care about, as long as you talk to yourself positively and you just understand, hey, that wasn't a good podcast, or hey, you didn't say the right thing right there, and learn from it and move forward. Don't let people's opinions of you dictate how you view yourself. And that's, I think a lot of people struggle with that. And it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Especially in a world where mental health is such a big topic. People are letting things and other people affect how you view yourself as a human being. And it's not right, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad. And I hate seeing people like that. Because I was in a similar situation. Like, I felt like I didn't like who I was. And I feel like sometimes you just feel like you don't want to be here. Sometimes you just struggle and you're like, "Why? What's the point of all this? Like, what am I doing this all for?" I think everyone can relate to that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And if you can't, I'll probably call you a liar. Like, I think a good portion of the world, unless you're like maybe Drake or something. I'm kidding. Drake's probably gone through struggles. But just everyone has that point in their life where they're just like, fuck, what am I going to do next? Like, how do I bounce back from this? Mm-hmm. But it's that bounce back that's key.
Yep.
Keep going with that struggle. And we are kind of getting closer to towards the end of the podcast. I do want to talk about a few more things, but is there anything that you want to talk about before I start going and transitioning?
No, not really. I think, you know, what we've talked about with as far as my brother and, you know, my career path and the Army, I think that's a big part of who I am. And I think that's nothing really I have to say other than what I've said towards those things.
Okay, because I do have one thing that I think you could probably give really good advice to people is,
yep,
understanding with the grieving process of losing someone that's very close to you, what would your advice be to someone who's gone through that or is currently going through that?
My biggest thing would be with any, you know, any situation, no matter who the person is that you're grieving over or whatever the situation is, biggest thing is, you know, don't be scared to, you know, have a conversation about it. Don't let it be one of those situations that, you know, people, like you said, like people get scared to ask about that. Be open about it. Be, you know, because the way that you deal with things, the way that you're open with how you're feeling and your emotions, it's going to be another release for you. And it's going to be another release for someone else that knows that they can do it too. You can end up being someone that's really holding another person together that's not handling a situation too far. Where, like, I have a little example here. Like, a couple years ago, a coworker of mine, we became friends from work. He passed away in a car accident. His younger brother had hit me up, and basically, you know, every time he was getting bad thoughts on his head, he would message me on Facebook and just be like, hey, what do you do? Like, what do I do when this happens? And I just feel like, you know, that was huge for me. That made me feel awesome to think that, you know, he had the confidence in me, that he knew that he was going through a hard time and he could come to me and ask me what he should do. He had, like, he trusted me with that. And I feel like that's important for everyone to take their situation and, you know, it's not going anywhere. It's always going to be there. Nothing's going to change. Nothing, as much as it sucks, nothing's going to bring that person back. But the only thing you can do about it is, you know, make a positive out of it and help someone or help other people. You know, helping other people will be another form of helping yourself. But I definitely just don't hold it in. Don't be, you know, don't be too private. Like, that was my biggest problem for a long time. P- people thought, you know, like they're like, they just don't know what's going on in my head. They don't know where I'm at because I wasn't saying anything, you know, whether I was fine or not. You need to open up. It's huge, and you don't need to go to some therapist. You don't need to go to anything. Like, this is the first time I've ever done something like this, and you know, I have you know, important people to me that know the things that I'm telling you, but mm-hmm. this is the first time I've really, you know, told, like, you know, this is, everyone could hear this if they wanted, yeah, and
broadcast it.
And it feels awesome to kind of, you know, put that out there, because you know, you got to put yourself in vulnerable spots, and you know, that's, you just have to do it. It's part of life. And I think that, you know, hopefully other people hear this and it helps them with their situations, or if they, you know, they like the way I do things, they can come talk to me, or, you know, come talk to you as being someone that's very good at listening and asking questions and kind of pulling the things out of people in a positive way, of course. But yeah, that's really what I got to say about, you know, with that whole situation.
That was really well said, man. Like, I think a lot of people who are listening to this are going to get something from that. That, like, for me, like, listening to that, like, I'm preparing. My grandfather has stage 4 lung cancer, and he was on my second episode, and I know things, whether I like it or not, will eventually come to an end, and that's what we talked about on our podcast, is everything comes to an end at some point. So understanding a grieving process, whether it is, like I said, sibling, mother, father, a grandparent, like, whoever, aunt, uncle, like, friend, it doesn't matter, like, there's a process that you could follow. Everyone has their own process, like we've talked about too. Like, but just opening it up and talking, sharing what's going on in your head, whether you realize it or not, people want to know what's going on up there. Like,
yeah.
And especially if you're not saying anything, people are quick to assume what's going on in there. And that's when things can get heated and get angry. And like, it becomes a miscommunication, and that could really cause some tension in relationships. And I think that was something I would point out too, as well, is just opening up and releasing that tension that's going on in your head, because you might be struggling and no one could know, and it could go on for years and no one could know because you don't say anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great, good that you say you don't need a therapist, because I'm not a therapist, but it's someone who tries to be open with people and be a good listener. Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah, it's huge. And another thing I think that's very important is for people going through a tough situation or whatever it may be, any kind of breakups, you know, loss of someone, anything. It's okay to be sad. I see so many people that try to play this tough guy act, and a lot of people think that I try to play that. My way of dealing with things is just different than everyone else, and that's why I think no one will truly understand how I dealt with things. I don't even understand it. But it is okay to be sad. It takes a stronger person to show their real emotions than it, you know, it doesn't mean you're strong because you can hide it. I think it shows that you're so much stronger of a person to put yourself out there and to show, like, how you actually feel about something. It says a lot more about you than someone who just tries to hide it and play a game of someone that they're not. It just does more damage than good, I think.
Yeah, that's fucking facts right there. Yeah. Definitely. So I do got two questions, and I'll do this one first, or I'll do the one I want to say for last, because I usually end on one question, but I'm going to switch it up for your episode. But so I'll start with this question.
Okay.
What would your advice be to anyone who's pursuing their passion?
Definitely don't give up. Don't be discouraged by, you know, if it doesn't work out at first. I think great things take time. You know, I've heard that a million times, and especially with someone who's trying to be in, you know, law enforcement, stuff like that. That's my passion. That's what I've always loved. That's what I want to do. You know, the biggest thing is, like, with a situation like that specifically, is you're not going to get in the first time. You know, maybe people do, but it's a lot of waiting, and it's a lot of application process, and it's a lot of, you know, background checks and taking PT tests and written tests and stuff like that. And, you know, but who cares? You know what? You fail, you know, you could fail 9 of them, but if, you know, you pass on that 10th one and you get the job, that it, all that was worth it. Just biggest thing, you know, never give up on what you want to do, because you don't want to be stuck doing something that you're what if, and you know, that's not what you love to do. Like, there's a thing I love to say. It's like, you know, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's huge to me. I like hold that very dear. That has like a lot to do with my everyday life and what I'm pushing to be.
That's really well said. I love what you pointed out there too. And I think everything we've talked about here today is going to be huge for people. And it's probably, looking back on it and listening back on it, if you decide to listen to, some people don't, but I think you'll look back and be like really proud of yourself for the things that you've opened up with to me about just on this podcast. And to everyone who does listen to this. I think they'll gain something positive from this, and you never know who this could help, and it's something great like that. So I did want to change the way I end the podcast, so that normally I would end on that question.
Yep.
But I want to ask you this. If you could say one more thing to your brother, what would that thing be?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I don't know if I've ever thought about that. If I could say one more thing to him, I'd probably just tell him, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's good. I'd probably tell him I love him, just like anyone would probably say. I'd probably tell him that, we'll be all right down here. We'll, I don't know. It's tough. Definitely just tell him I love him a million times, I wish that he could be here, and, sorry for all the, bad times that we had together. It's a brother thing, everyone butts head, but I would never, I'd say sorry for that, but I'd never hold it in my head, beat myself up over it. That's the worst thing you could do. But, me and my brother, we're not very, I don't know what the word is.
Emotional.
I'm not like that with my brothers. We weren't like, yo, love you, man. Like, I see siblings like that all the time, which I think that's awesome. But yeah, we just weren't like that. So I just definitely let him know I love him, how much he means to me, and definitely can't stress that enough. I just keep digging that in there.
Yeah, it's not an easy question either.
Yeah, it's tough. That was a good one, though.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to go with that one last. I feel like that would be a good way to end the podcast. And
definitely going to think about that more, too. That was a good one.
Yeah, it's something that everyone can think about. If, you had a chance to talk to your relative one last time or a friend one last time, what would you tell them? Mm-hmm. I think everyone could gain something from thinking about that question.
For sure.
And it's something, even just saying it out loud. If no one's around, just saying it in your room or wherever it is. You never know. They could be listening. I don't know what happens after this in next life or whatever it could be. So, and if it's weird for me because, I'm sitting here across from you and you got the picture of your brother right there. It feels like it literally, I'm not going to even lie to you. I shake a little bit because I get, emotional when I think about things like this. But it feels like he's, here with us as we're talking about this. And I think he'd be proud of everything that you've accomplished and everything that you've said here today on this podcast. So I want to take a chance and say thank you for allowing me to come to you and to record this podcast. It's been great.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It was awesome being here, and I definitely hope people get something from this, from both you and me.
Yeah, I think they will. And I just want to take a chance to switch gears, and I'll give my little spiel now. So thank you to everyone that has currently listened all the way through. Appreciate you guys the most. You could check me out at thecowconnection.simplecast.com. Also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and all others. So take a chance to listen to those, rate, review, and until next time, guys. Bye.